and it's chapter 5. Jesus healed on the Sabbath day, and the Jews wanted to kill him. And so Jesus has a discourse with those unbelieving Jews. We're going to begin our reading at verse 24, read to the end of the chapter. Verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and they shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not the testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" My text is verse 39. "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. May he bless the reading and the preaching of it. We are here in the Gospel of John, beloved. And the Gospel of John was written for the purpose to testify that Jesus is the Son of God. That is how John begins his Gospel. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And how does John end his gospel there in John chapter 20? We read there in the last verses, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. The premise set forth is that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. And by faith in Him, we have eternal life. That's the first verse that we read from John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, is but passed from death unto life. So as I said, here in John chapter 5, we have a rather lengthy discourse, a response to the unbelieving Jews. Jesus had healed a lame man who was lame for 38 years. And it was the Sabbath day. And therefore we read then in verse 16, therefore the Jews persecuted Jesus and tried to kill him. Jesus points out to them that he was doing the work of his Father who sent him. And he says, greater works than these I will do than the healing of this lame man. He said, your sins are forgiven, and they were questioning what gives him the right to say that. Jesus lists for these unbelieving Jews four witnesses that he is the Son of God. He says, first of all, there is John the Baptist. A large multitude went out to hear him and rejoiced to hear him. What did John say? John 1, verse 34, 36, we read, I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. And then later on he says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Second of all, they had the verbal testimony of God from heaven when he, at the baptism of Jesus, said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. There is a powerful witness all during his life. The very miracles, the powerful, effective miracles that he performed, pointing out spiritual truths. Lame men walked, blind men saw, dead men were raised to life. Oh, what a picture of spiritual realities. And fourthly, Jesus points out the witness of the Scriptures. We read in chapter 5, verse 39, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think that ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. What is Jesus talking about there? Well, we know at the end of the chapter. He says, there's one who's going to accuse you. That's Moses. Oh, those Jews loved the Torah. They loved to be called children of Moses. For had you believed Moses, he would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? So search the Scriptures. Why? Because you think ye have eternal life in them. And yes, one does find eternal life in the Scriptures. But one finds eternal life in the Scriptures only because they testify to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. John 5, verse 24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. So that theme, search the Scriptures. As a congregation, we're beginning a new society season. We've invited the neighborhood. If there's anyone from the neighborhood, we invite you to that society life of our church. In 2 weeks, the children will begin school again at our Christian school, where they will be looking at all things through the Scriptures. September through April, there's catechism instruction for those in kindergarten all the way through grade 12 and up. There is society for young people, for young adults, for the women of the church, for the older adults, every age. Search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. We could entitle the sermon this evening, Come to Jesus. The coming there is the activity of faith. We know that when Jesus came into the world, it was not the innkeeper that believed in him. And though Herod wanted to find him, it wasn't to come to Jesus Christ in faith and to kneel. And it was the scribes who knew the Scriptures and even told where he was going to be born, did not come to Bethlehem. No, who came to find Jesus? It was humble shepherds. The lowliest strata probably in society saw the angels, heard the angels, and they came and worshiped. It was the wise men who came from afar, having seen the star of his rising. There was the old Anna and Simeon who came daily to the temple to behold the Christ. So my theme, search the Scripture to find Christ. Notice with me in the first place, the subject of our search. Second of all, what we find. And thirdly, the benefit of our searching. Jesus said to these unbelieving Jews, search the Scriptures. Now, the Greek there is ambiguous. That is, that word can either be in the present indicative, that is, you search the Scriptures, or it can also be understood in the imperative, search. It's a command, search the Scriptures. And that's the way our authorized version translated, and I prefer that reading, but both are valid. What does it mean? To search means to investigate. To search means to dig into. To search means to penetrate those Scriptures. It's a word that is used for miners who are looking for precious metals in the earth. Diligently they search and faithfully they keep on looking for those metals. They are like in the parables of Jesus of the woman who swept her house in order to find that lost coin. Or like the man who bought the field in order to look for the buried treasure. Search. That search is to be an ongoing, it is to be a daily search. Here in John, the Scriptures are to be searched. This is the only place in John's gospel that he uses the plural. And so what the Lord Jesus is saying here is, now you search these Scriptures, that is the Old Testament canon, which had been written over 15,000 years and 1,500 years, and all 39 books were collected and were considered the Scriptures. All of that Old Testament, Jesus is saying to the Jews of this day, because there wasn't the New Testament then yet, search them. Just as Jesus spoke to those travelers on the way to the Emmaus and he opened up to them the Scriptures to explain to them what had taken place, the necessity of his suffering and his death and resurrection. Now, as we take this same command of Jesus Christ, search the Scriptures, we have not only the Old Testament canon, but we also have the New Testament canon, 66 books. God used various men to write it. But the author of those books is God Himself, as we learn from Peter and we also learn from 2 Timothy. Not a word of man about God, but it is the very word of God concerning Himself and salvation. Apart from Scripture, God cannot be known savingly. As we saw this morning, it is the Holy Spirit who shows and reveals the Scriptures to God's believing people. There is, search the Scriptures, because you think that there you have eternal life, and that eternal life is only through Jesus Christ. To those unbelieving Jews, Jesus says, search the Scriptures. You see, they believed that the Scriptures were an end in themselves. They prided themselves on knowing those Scriptures, and the scribes who would transcribe it would count even the words on the page so that they knew what was half of the page for them and what was half of the page for the next one. And oh yes, they might know the details of Scripture, but they missed the truths that the Scriptures teach. They thought the Scriptures themselves were the source of eternal life. Oh, they knew the Scriptures. They were sons of Abraham. Surely they would have life. Or they knew the laws of Moses and they even improved on those laws. Surely they would have eternal life. And Jesus says, no, search the Scriptures. They testify of me. Through Jesus Christ alone, you have eternal life. What does that mean? That means not only you go to heaven someday when you die, but eternal life means we have life right now when spiritually we are awakened from death by regeneration. We have that life now, and it will be perfected in heaven. Remember that account of Jesus with those travelers on the way to Emmaus, how he, first of all, opened up the Scriptures to them. And later on, do you remember how they spoke to each other? Were not our eyes opened when he broke that bread before us? And at the very end of that chapter in Luke, we read, as Jesus appeared to the disciples, he opened their minds that they might understand the Scriptures. Boys and girls, do you remember that story in the beginning of John chapter 1? When John the Baptist is preaching about Jesus Christ, and one of his disciples, Andrew and John, they go and they follow Jesus Christ to where he's staying. And if they've stayed with Jesus Christ, Andrew comes back, he can't keep it to himself, and he says to Simon, his brother, we have found the Messiah, the Christ. Or also Philip. He comes to Nathanael and he says, we have found him of whom the Moses and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth. They had found the Christ. Oh, beloved, have you found the Christ? By faith, searching the Scriptures. In Acts chapter 17, we read there of the noble Bereans, more noble than all the others because they searched the Scriptures whether these things were so. And so in this coming year again, those who live nearby and even those who maybe haven't joined a society before in our church, You're invited. Join the societies that you may together. Search the scriptures which testify of Christ. That brings me to my second point. What do we find? And as you begin from the beginning of the Bible all the way through those Old Testament canons, the Old Testament canon, what do you find? Do you not find the promise of Christ Jesus? Do you not find that promise already in Genesis chapter 3 after the terrible fall into sin? When God finds Adam and Eve, and in speaking to the devil, we have the mother promise that the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. Oh, trace that promise of the Christ. When God comes to Abraham and he says to him, in thy seed shall all the nations of the world be blessed. Who is that promise of but the seed? Galatians chapter 3. Who is Christ? It's singular. Follow that promise of Christ in the Old Testament when the promise comes to David of his seed who will sit upon the throne forever and ever. And there was not one of David's seed that lasted on the throne any longer than 55 years with the evil Manasseh. But there is one. The one seed of David, Christ Jesus, who sits on the throne forever and ever and ever. Follow the promise as we find it in Isaiah of the suffering servant. And who is that suffering servant of God other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who is bruised for our iniquities, whose stripes are laid upon him, and we are healed. Yes, follow the promise in Micah, where this Christ is going to be born, O thou Bethlehem of Ephrathah. Follow at the promise, as it comes in Malachi, of the Son of Righteousness who will rise with healing in his wings. And there you see Christ Jesus. Trace those promises from the Old Testament into the New Testament, where we read of the Virgin Mary when the days were fulfilled. She was found with child. Follow that promise all through his works, his miracles, to the promise of his coming again in glory. What do we find when we search the scriptures? We do not read the Old Testament as some do as morals that we should follow. Oh, we should try to be a man like Moses or like a Joshua or a Gideon or a David. Not moralisms. But we search the scriptures to see in them the beautiful types and shadows of Christ Jesus. Do you see there? Those animals that were slain when Adam and Eve had fallen into sin and had tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. God clothed them with animals that were slain and blood that was poured out, a type of the blood that would be shed by our Lord Jesus. Or trace the type. When young Isaac is asking his father Abram as they're going up Mount Moriah, he says, Dad, we've got the fire, we've got the wood, but where is the sacrifice? And Abraham says, the Lord will provide. And when he is ready to strike his son Isaac dead, believing that the Lord would raise him again from the dead, the Lord stops him, and there is a ram caught in the thicket. What a picture. The ram was killed instead of Isaac, as Jesus Christ was killed instead of you and me. Look at the type of Joseph as he is sold by his brothers and put into prison there in Egypt and is raised to be Pharaoh's right hand. What a picture we have there of our Lord Jesus Christ, despised by his brothers, his brethren, raised from the dead, now as our Savior, to deliver us from the bondage of Egypt. Think of Moses, that wonderful deliverer who brought God's people out of Egypt. What a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, who brings us out of the bondage of sin, which we hear every Sunday morning in the preface to the law. Look in the Old Testament at all the prophets, the true prophets. Look at all the priests there carrying out their work. Look at all the kings that served, God-fearing kings. And they were types of him who is the prophet, priest, and king of his people. Look at all the ceremonial laws and the sacrifices that were offered over and over and over. And we have one who is better than Melchizedek. And we have not the many animals, but they all pointed to the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Yes, as John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God, the Lamb that God has provided. For those of you who have taken the senior Bible history class, you have learned of the five great victories in the Old Testament. When God brought his people, or brought Noah and his family away from that sinful world, saving them with a flood. Or the wonderful victory that God gave his people over Pharaoh and his hosts, which were drowned in the Red Sea. Or the victories of David over all the enemies and the peace and prosperity of King Solomon, the third great victory. And then there's fourthly, that victory that God gave his people when he brought them again out of Babylon back into their home country. All of those victories are types of the great victory that we have in Christ Jesus, in his cross, and in his resurrection. And only one more victory yet to come. That victory when Jesus comes upon the clouds of heaven. And all the church is going to be delivered from this trial of sorrow and tears and be brought into the new heavens and the new earth, while all the enemies are dashed into hell. Search the scriptures. And that search of the scriptures by faith, there will be a spiritual, there will be an experimental, there will be a personal knowledge of Christ Jesus. Search the scriptures, for they testify of me. Oh, that means that we are not like the scribes or the Jews of Jesus' day who just memorize a bunch of verses and then we get real proud of ourselves or proud because we know who the 12 apostles are. But when Jesus opened up the scriptures to the travelers on the way to Emmaus and broke bread with them, their eyes were opened. And later on, as he appeared to his disciples, their minds were open to understand the scriptures. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, we read, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the apostle there is not saying that we have to grow in two different ways, but he is explaining how do we grow in grace, and the answer is by growing in our knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The knowledge that we attain, that we find, is not merely an intellectual knowledge. There are men who know the scriptures, but alas, they have no spiritual knowledge. They might have theoretical knowledge. Even the devil knows about Christ Jesus. But it is not a spiritual knowledge. We're talking here not about a general knowledge, knowing all the facts, and maybe even knowing the verses and quoting them, but we're talking about a personal, supernatural knowledge by a new heart in which the Holy Spirit works and strengthens faith. Oh, yes. Come to the Scriptures, find Christ Jesus, for there is the manna that has come from heaven. Come to the wells of salvation. And come not with a little tablespoon in your mouth to get a little sample now and then, but come to the wells of salvation with buckets to draw that water, which is Christ Jesus himself. Search the Scriptures, and what do you find? You find there the only atoning work for our salvation. Search those Scriptures to reveal your and my need for Christ Jesus. Do you know your need for Him alone? Search the Scriptures and find out there that our righteousnesses are all filthy rags. Isaiah 64, verse 4. We need the righteousness that God imputes to us, the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Search the Scriptures, for there you will find, Acts chapter 4, that there's only one name whereby we may be saved. Search the Scriptures. There you find the sufficiency of His atoning labor. The work that He performed that we cannot add to, nor do we need to. Nothing more than the blood of Jesus Christ saves. Oh, what a sufficiency. What do we find when we go to the Scriptures? We find Christ Jesus, who is victorious. As we sing on Easter morning, He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Jesus Christ, by His death and resurrection, has defeated sin, your and my sin. He has defeated Satan. He has defeated death. And as I said earlier, by grace, you and I who believe in Him have died with Him, died to sin, and you and I who believe in Him are raised in new life. The victorious Christ, who reigns now in heaven, and because He is the Son of God, He is the one who is able to obtain our salvation, and He is the one who also is able to give that salvation from heaven. He pours out His blessings on His church day after day. And He's coming again. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. A life that we have now already. A life that we live every day of our life here on earth, and nothing can separate us from the love of God, can it? Nothing in this life, nothing in heaven, not even death. That life is now enjoyed by us and lived by us by faith and goes on everlastingly. What a Savior. Do you know your need for Him? Do you delight in searching the Scriptures day after day, an ongoing activity? You see, the Scriptures are unlike any other book. I can read a novel once or maybe even a second time. I said, I read this once before. Okay, then I know the plot. I'm done with it. Some of you are studying books pretty soon in school, and you might have to write a paper on it or take a test, and then you say, I passed it. But the scriptures are a book whose depths can never be completely found or searched out. H.H., who wrote the Dogmatics, that big, big tome, at the end of his life said, and I've only scratched the surface. Do you find that? Not satisfied with just a little knowledge. Not satisfied with just a little spoonful a minute after you eat, before you pray, or at night. But digging into, investigating thoroughly, following the promises, following the types, following the victories, following the perfections of Christ that are set forth, the glorious work of Christ Jesus, the promises of Christ Jesus. That brings me to my third point already, the benefit of our searching the scriptures. First benefit, may this be true of you and me. Christ becomes more and more precious to me. Is Christ to you the chief among 10,000 to your soul? Is he your chief joy? Peter writes in 1 Peter 2, verse 7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. What did the Apostle Paul say about his life? Oh, he had done many things earlier as a Pharisee. He could talk about all those works that he had done, all his own righteousnesses. But he writes in Philippians 3, verse 8, we count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord. As the glory of God appeared down there in Solomon's temple, and as the wisdom and the splendor of Solomon's kingdom was made known to others, so the Queen of Sheba sought him out. So may the unparalleled excellency of Christ Jesus so powerfully and irresistibly draw us in our hearts to him whom to know is everlasting life. Pray. Pray that the Holy Spirit will draw you and draw all your affections to the Christ. We read in Psalm 73, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. Is that, beloved, your conclusion when you have searched the scriptures? Christ is precious to you. There's nothing more you want or need. What is the benefit to those who search the scriptures that testify of Christ? And there is, second of all, then, an increased confidence in Christ Jesus. There are those times when Jesus had to say, oh, you of little faith. You'll remember, boys and girls, when Jesus was with his disciples there on the storm-tossed Sea of Galilee, and they cried out, Lord, carest thou not that we perish? Little faith, who was in the boat with them? And who is in your storm-tossed boat? Or think again of the disciples when they were unable to cast a demon out of the Father's Son while Jesus had been up there on the Mount of Transfiguration. If they had faith, they could move mountains. Or again, boys and girls, think of that story when the disciples are out in the boat at night, and there they see Jesus walking to them. They think he's, first of all, a ghost. And when they recognize it's Jesus, he says, "Fear not, it is I." Then Peter says, "Can I come to you?" And Jesus says, "Come." And he's walking there in the water until his eyes start looking around at those huge waves and the water, and he starts sinking. Little faith. Little faith, keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. And over against that little faith, there stands in Matthew 8, verse 10, the faith of that Roman centurion whose servant was sick. And Jesus says, "I will come unto you." And he says, "You don't have to come to me. Just say the word. I have servants. I say the word and they obey me. Just say the word and it will take place." And what does Jesus say? "Verily I have found so, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." What faith? Is your faith growing? Is it being strengthened by your searching the scriptures that testify of Jesus Christ? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, there's full assurance of faith. We read there, "Let us draw near in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Let us draw near with fullness of faith. Draw near to your Savior, so that, as we read a couple weeks ago, we have boldness. Boldness to come to the throne of grace. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 talks about the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation, the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. He's talking about growing in faith and confidence. The steadier and the stronger our faith, the more the Lord Jesus is honored on our behalf. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3, we read, "Your faith groweth exceedingly." What a word of the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians. And may that be Christ's word to us, "Your faith groweth exceedingly." Psalm 9, verse 10, "They that know thy name put their trust in thee." Do you have that confidence? Confidence in Christ Jesus for your salvation. Confidence in all the trials and difficulties of life. They are many, aren't they? There was a song that my oldest daughter and I loved to sing, many chapels. "Day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here." Second stanza, "Every day, the Lord himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain would bear and cheer me, he whose name is Counselor and Power." Draw near to Christ in faith, and may that faith grow stronger. A wonderful confidence in Christ Jesus in life and in death. And as we search the scriptures that testify Christ Jesus, the benefit is that there grows in us a deepening desire to please Him. A work of faith, and works that proceed from our faith. A desire to please God. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15. Live not to yourselves, but unto Him that died and rose again. John 14, verse 23. If a man love me, he will keep my words. Let me ask a question. Do they have a faith in Christ who make no effort to learn and to do His will? Delight in His commandments and be filled with sorrow when you break them. Sad to say, there are those who say we can't do any good works. Open the scriptures and you find that you are a new creature in Christ Jesus, made ready and willing and able to do good works that please our Father in heaven. Search the scriptures that testify of Christ Jesus. And when you look at who He is and what He has done and what He is now doing in heaven as He's gathering His church, you long for His coming again. You long as that wife of Solomon longed for Solomon. We are the bride of Christ Jesus, and we can't wait for the wedding feast. When He comes again and He takes His whole church, His bride, to heaven, and there is the wedding feast that goes on, and we reign with Christ Jesus. Yes, nothing can be satisfied short of its object. We love Christ. And now we see Him as in a glass darkly by faith. But we long for that day when we will see Him face to face. This is life eternal, Jesus says, that they know God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And what is Jesus' prayer in John 17? I'm thinking of verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. What a beautiful prayer of the bridegroom. That they may be with me where I am. For you see, Jesus left, and His disciples were sorrowful. Jesus is bodily in heaven, but He gives comfort. I will come to you. I will be with you always by my Spirit, by my word. But I will come again, and I will take you to be with me where I am. The psalmist, we were called to worship in Psalm 17, verse 15. As for me, I will behold Thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I wake in Thy likeness. Oh, what a day that will be. No more temptations. No more sin. No more sickness or pain or sorrow. Oh, the trials of this life are many in number. We're pilgrims and strangers here. As the young girl quoted this morning from Hebrews 11, like Abraham, looked for a city whose foundation was built by God. He's coming again. As we search the scriptures, which testify by grace, May God, by His grace and Spirit, draw us irresistibly to Christ Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. We love Him. We want to know Him better. We go through the Scriptures, digging deeper with buckets, drawing the water out of the wells of salvation to His glory, our salvation. Amen. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the Scriptures, the infallible, inspired Word of God. And we thank Thee, Father, that they testify of Thee and of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, whom knowing we have eternal life. Bless us then in our individual lives at home. Here as we come to church, as the children go to school, as we begin our society life, may we dig, may we investigate, may we search like a miner for Him who is precious, Jesus Christ, and whom knowing we have eternal life. We thank Thee for Christ Jesus. We thank Thee for the gift of faith. We thank Thee for the light of Thy Word that is shed upon our path, that we may walk with Thee and we may look for Christ Jesus coming again in glory. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen.